Hello, Merry Christmas, and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. I think it's the sixth day of Christmas today, so Merry sixth day of Christmas. Oh, yeah, it is the sixth day of Christmas because I have an ad that I have to read about the sixth day of Christmas in a little while. If you don't know, Catholics celebrate Christmas for 12 days, and then some Catholics, because, I don't know, they're fancier than other people, go all the way till February 2nd, till the Feast of Candlemas. So I get to wish you a Merry Christmas for several more days. All this week, we've been having special shows, and this one is the specialist of the special shows, mostly because it's last. This is the last day of the year that we will be on the air here. And this, so we do a big summation where we do the stories of the year, the person of the year, the pro-life story of the year, all that kind of stuff. And to help us do that, we have the flannel panel. First up, Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers, looking very sharp in his flannel. Hi, Chris.
Thanks for having me on, Cy.
Yeah, it's really nice to have you on. Do you feel prepared? Did I prepare you? Because one complaint that you have is that I don't prepare you adequately for
I these. Did see the questions 5 minutes before.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Very
full disclosure. It was sometime yesterday afternoon.
Okay. And our other member of the flannel panel wearing flannel today. All three of us in flannel. That's we pretty much missed that
last few times. Not only in flannel, in the same color flannel.
Yeah, we're all matching up. Joe Heschmeyer, of course, apologist here at Catholic Answers, the author of a lot of books with a lot of titles. Hi, Joe.
How you doing?
Good.
So if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, you can see the show.
Yeah, you can see that we're wearing flannel. And I believe we started calling this flannel panel, which is what we usually do with flannel panel, is about once a month we get together and we talk about the news of the world from a Catholic perspective. But I think we started calling this flannel panel in honor of Joe, right? And then he forgot to wear flannel several times.
Did I coin flannel panel?
You did.
Or did Edgar?
You did.
Edgar Lujano.
You said,
let's wear
flannel. You said, let's wear flannel, but then Edgar said, well, we'll call it the flannel panel. Yeah.
I think this is going to be shrouded in the mist of history who actually coined it.
No, there's no shroud of mystery.
No,
it was Edgar. Like, this is not.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You're like one of those Protestants who's like, I'm not really sure if the early church had the Eucharist. No, there's actually no mystery about this. They had the Eucharist.
Wow, like, you just called me a Protestant.
Yeah.
Well, you're a Protestant in regard to Edgar. Like, I think you're trying to take a little bit of Edgar's credit.
If I hadn't suggested we all wear flannel, then so I was the inspiration.
You were the inspiration. Yeah, you're like
you
the
know,
Holy
if
Spirit.
I hadn't worn
He's like
flannel.
You. Go ahead. Say it again.
If I hadn't worn flannel, on the other hand, we wouldn't be here at all.
That wasn't a conscious decision on your part, Joe. That's just naturally what you people in the Midwest do, right?
It's true, especially right now. It is currently 22 degrees. Feels like 12.
Yeah.
So if I die,
it's 72
show,
here.
It's
it feels like 69.
Can I just say something?
I don't think it feels
about flannel real quick here.
Yeah.
So I actually have not owned a flannel shirt for many years until we decided to do this.
Oh, really?
Bit. Yes.
And you have such nice flannel
well,
shirts.
Well, I have two now because of this bit. But the other day or whatever, it was a couple of weeks ago, I was sawing the 4 inches off the bottom of the Christmas tree so it starts drinking
again
or something.
Yeah.
And I had the flannel shirt on and the bow saw or whatever. And Jackie said, oh, you've really got the L.L. Bean thing going there. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Very alluring.
Yeah, alluring. I like that you're wearing flannel sawing a tree. And she's not like, oh, lumberjack. She's like, oh, L.L. Bean.
Jackie's nothing if not high class, man. She is high class.
All right, like a model, not like go ahead.
I'm not going to give out the phone number today because what we do each year, this is a tradition now at Catholic Answers, and it's clouded in the mists of history who started the tradition, but it was me. And we survey our listeners through the Radio Club, which you can become a member of by just sending an email to radio@catholic.com, or Society 315. Now, that one costs you bucks. You got to pay $10 a month to be a member of Society 315. But as long as you make any donation, $10 a month or above, you're in Society 315. And we ask them all these questions. What's the big story of the year? What's a trend you like? What's a trend you don't like? Who's the Catholic person of the year? And then we do the last two episodes or the last two times we're on the air, we discussed those. And so yesterday we had Tim Ryland and Todd Agliolaro, and that was a fantastic show. And so maybe you're like fired up for this. It really was, Chris. They did a great job.
No, they're both very bright guys.
Oh, you look like you were taking that as some kind of challenge. No, like, I'm really good.
Wait, my look of confusion was, we're going to go through the same questions again? The poor listeners have to hear the same questions again.
No, that is not what we
get chosen. Okay, my take on that.
That's an excellent point. Yesterday, we got really smart people, and now we have Joe and Chris.
Right.
No, we split them up. So they do all the...
so they got different questions.
They do all the really Catholic-y ones, and then you guys get more of the worldly ones. We're kind of doing the news of the world.
I'm feeling this is actually worse than the first way you said it, where we're just the worst persons. Now we're just like the least Catholic
So far I've been called a Protestant, dumb, and worldly in the space of the first quarter.
I didn't say the word dumb out loud.
Had to call yourself an L.L. Bean model. That was the worst part.
That's what Jackie said. That wasn't me. You know, I just needed the Labrador right there next to me.
No, a real macho men have King Charles Spaniel.
Those are
the heroes. Those are the real heroes, the King Charles Spaniel.
Famed companions of the Stuart Kings.
Yeah. You were about to say something, Mr. Hirschmeier?
So real quick, if I could, a little bit of Christmas trivia for you. In the 12 days of Christmas, how many birds are given?
Oh, that is good. I'm going to go with, can we just we take a shot and who's ever closer wins?
Six.
Yeah,
all right, I'm going to say 71.
Oh, okay. I see, because they're...
Oh, do you want to try again, Chris?
Oh, no. All right. No, because I'm dumb and I stink at math. Forget it.
Oh, like I'm good at math.
Oh, I get it. So there's actually 12 partridges in a pear tree instead of just one. Is that the idea here?
Well, I don't know how they count them. Like every time you say it, because
you end with a partridge
in a pear tree every time.
Yeah, that's a really good distinction. So just take the 12 days. Imagine on the 12th days when you get, 12 of 11
from there.
The next,
yeah.
And just do that one day. We're not accumulating 12 different partridges and 12 different pear trees. We're treating that as just one.
And do we count Lords of Leapin as birds or as people?
That's a good question. Those are people.
Oh, those
I
are people.
Assume.
All right. I didn't know.
St. Paul says there are many lords, but only one God.
Yeah,
that doesn't help us here at all.
Thanks for the quote.
Doesn't. 23. So actually, Chris was closer.
Congratulations, Chris. You're really smart.
You guessed 71.
Yeah, but
that's not even close.
Days one,
that's
two,
not even in the ballpark.
Six and seven. So this is like if you were to actually receive these gifts in the order they're given, this would be the worst day because you've gotten through 4 days where your beloved has given you birds, and you just think, what am I going to do with all these birds? And then you get 5 golden rings, and you're like, oh, thank God. I know what to do with jewelry.
Yeah.
And then it's back to birds again on day 6. So this is, it's a negative shift. That's all I'm saying. There's one more bird day after this, and then you get people.
What do you do with 5 golden rings, though? Like, that you got to put them on different, this year I have several times thought about being one of those guys that wears a pinky ring. What do you think? Do you think I should start that?
No. Turn in your badge and your gun. Do not wear a pinky ring.
The only jewelry I ever wear is my wedding ring. And I can barely see. I can't stand things touching my skin.
How about a nose ring, Si?
No, not a nose ring. That seems like it would hurt. But I think the pinky ring.
They look like they hurt.
I've seen Sylvester Stallone do it, and I thought, yeah, we're kind of the same. What do you think? Me and Sylvester Stallone.
Wait, Sylvester Stallone has a pinky ring?
Well, no, I mean, like in a movie or something, he'll wear a pinky ring.
Wow.
So
no, a pinky rings.
I feel like you got to be.
I'm not going to say anything because we have a large demographic of the audience that wears pinky rings. But
you got to be tough. You got to be tough to wear a pinky ring. Like you got to be kind.
Because you're inviting a fight. You're inviting someone making fun of you.
And that's how I feel about myself.
Our books editor Todd Aglioloro owns a bird.
I thought it was going to be a pinky ring.
No, it's a bird, and he and Jackie got into it at the at Tim Ryland's wedding about the merits of birds as pets.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Jackie was saying, "Oh yeah, birds, they can sniff out cancer." He was saying all the things that dogs can do, like they'll fetch for you or whatever. Oh, there are those birds that will go. They're called falcons. They kind of fetch. But apparently they, but Todd insisted that they are extremely smart. They're actually smarter than dogs.
Birds?
Well, this particular bird he has, I don't know, some kind of parrot or something. Apparently it's quite smart.
Really?
We looked it up.
Yeah. And if you open that cage, will it hang around? Like, does it?
Well, yes, if its wings are clipped, which Todd's bird's wings are clipped.
We got wild parrots in my neighborhood. Do you have wild parrots in Kansas? At all?
For some reason, they don't love the cold weather. My one experience with falcons, I was at an aviary, is that what it's called?
Yes.
In Malta. and got to like actually have owls and a falcon on my arm. They give you a little like arm shield thing. It was only afterwards that I realized like they've got an entire business built on people wanting to have a falcon in Malta because of Maltese Falcon.
That's an actual Maltese Falcon.
Industry. Yeah.
That's
in the movie. It's not a
bird. You know what amazed me? I held at one of those birds once, and what amazed me is they're so big, and then you think, oh, this is going to really weigh something on me. They don't weigh anything. That I think they might have hollow bones.
They're lighter than air.
Are they lighter than air? I didn't realize it. They're made out of helium.
Maltese Falcon, by the way, is a great film.
But can I tell you? I hate to say this because you know you're always a kind of the unappealing person when you say this. The book is even better.
It is better. The book is Raymond genius. Chandler. Raymond Chandler.
No, Dashiell Hammett.
Dashiell Hammett. I always confuse those two.
Yeah.
This is the second Hammond conversation I've had this month, which is twice as many.
He's an LA guy, right?
Dashiell Hammett. I don't know where he's from.
Yeah, Chandler is San Francisco. Or I confuse him.
No, anyway, Chandler's L.A.
Chandler's L.A. Hammett is...
L.A. He seems very L.A. Chandler, all of his stuff is set in L.A.
Okay, Hammett is San Francisco.
Yeah. So glad we're talking about this.
It's a brilliant film. But I have to say, your experience, Joe, is even insaner than people going to Iowa to see Field of Dreams.
Yes.
Oh, and I'm like, no, it's...
And then they get there, they're just like,
it's a movie set. It's not... The whatchamacallit 1918 Cubs or whatever it was.
They don't come out?
Or the White Sox or whoever it was who threw the World Series.
Yeah. That right.
Yeah,
they're not there.
They're not there. Well, I'm not going then.
It's a movie set.
I'm not going then.
But people go there.
This has been the strangest opening to the program we have ever done. So congratulations.
I was trying to give you a segue.
But that worked out, didn't it? That segue? That was supposed to transform society, the segue. Do you even ever see a segue now? I mean,
yeah, they move around
Paul Blart.
On the street.
That's the only person. When you think of segue, you think of Paul Blart. All right, we have to take a break. We're going to do, when we come back, we'll do the top TV show and movie of the year.
That was my segue for you.
Oh, is that what it was?
Because I was talking about Maltese Falcon.
And I missed it.
Movies.
I missed it. Man, what a terrible
host. If it was top TV show of 1942, we'd be on it.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. We're going to do the year in review starts right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately? Catholic Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
The destination for great Catholic audio programming is EWTN Podcast Central, featuring the best of EWTN radio, as well as faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates across the nation, all in one place, all free. If it's central to the faith, you can find it on EWTN Podcast Central. It's like podcast heaven. Visit EWTN.com/radio/podcasts today.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. It's our last program of the year of 2022, and each year on the last program of the year, we share with you what our readers have voted as things like the most trusted Catholic of the year, the positive trend, the negative trend of the year, the pro-life person of the year, the Catholic person of the year, the biggest news story of the year. So we're going to get into all of that, but we had to discuss Dashiell Hammett before we got to that. We've gotten that out of the way, though. We've got our Dashiell Hammett segment out of
Who's
the way.
Who's the big sleep? Is that
Chandler?
Chandler.
That's Chandler. That is my all-time favorite movie.
You have no idea what's going
They've
on.
They made that twice. Did they make The Big Sleep twice?
You have no idea what's
are
going
you
on.
You
no, there's only one. There's one good one, and then there's been numerous bad remakes.
Oh, I see.
Howard Hawk, 1946, maybe?
Yeah. Humphrey Bogart.
That's the good one.
Lauren Bacall.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you know who helped with the screenplay?
Who?
Faulkner.
that's right.
That's why you have no idea what's going on.
Yeah. Well, Faulkner didn't really know what was going on at that point. Yeah. Like he was not in a good spot when he was in Hollywood. He was.
There's one loose end. So anyone who hasn't seen the movie, which is Normal People, it's a very complicated plot. There's a lot of different storylines going on, fast-paced dialogue. By like the second or third time, you're like, oh, I get it. But there's still some loose ends. And there was one that they asked Raymond Chandler about, and he's like, oh, I don't know what happened to that person.
I love that. That's a great author. That would never happen to Dashiell Hammett, let me tell you right now.
When Faulkner, when Faulkner was out in Hollywood helping with screenplays, he had a... he had a golf game with Clark Gable. Okay. And, and apparently neither was impressed with the other. And I forget exactly how it goes, but it was Gable said something to, so Mr. Faulkner, you know, what do you do?
Oh man, I win the Nobel Prize in Literature. What do you do?
Wow.
That's funny because doesn't I think one of the great books, maybe it's Light in August, starts with a golf game. No, it's not Light in August. Hmm. One of them starts with a golf game, but they're hitting.
No, so, Absalom.
You can't figure out it's a golf game because Faulkner's writing it. You're like, I don't even know what's happening.
Well, it's being told from the perspective of the boy with
So can I give my quick Hammett
story?
Can we
do the show now? Oh, this is a Dashiell Hammett story? No, if you've
let's
got
just do English literature. American writers for 300, Alex.
Look, there's going to be plenty of Catholic segues you can get off of this one. Okay. The library by my parents' house in Leawood, Kansas. It has around the top of it, like on the, you know, just a few feet from the ceiling, like the trim, I guess, the names of a bunch of famous authors because it's a library. There's 18 of them, and it includes, inexplicably, Hammett. But it also has C.S. Lewis, Dostoevsky, Aquinas, Aristotle, and I'm blanking. Who is the other? And so it's like this incredibly like
the pantheon of writers.
Great. Yeah. Well, then also Lewis. So it's like a very like surprisingly religious list. And then you just get Dashiell Hammett. And so someone, when I shared this online, was like, is there like a local connection? How did he make this list?
Well,
it's just inexplicable. It's just like the guy's favorite authors. He just put them up there.
He is a great writer, but no Shakespeare. You got Dashiell Hammett and no Shakespeare.
Oh, sorry. You got Shakespeare. You got Tolstoy.
Okay.
But I was originally just like shocked to see C.S. Lewis up there and then to see Aquinas up there and then looked at the other ones like Poe's up there. Austin's up there. Madeline Dashiell Hammett, the one who
Lord
did Wrinkle
Byron.
In Time.
Oh, like Madeline Engel, huh?
Wow.
Yeah.
She's Catholic.
It's a very strange. Yeah. Is she?
Yeah. Yeah.
This has to have been a Catholic who did this.
Okay, one more thing.
No,
come on. No. All right. Raymond Chandler. When I was, I remember when I was in the Marine Corps. I'm segueing you. Remember the TV show Spencer for Hire?
Yes. Yeah.
So that was based on the series of books by Robert Parker.
Yes.
Parker, who was a great mystery writer. He got permission from the Chandler estate to finish an unfinished Chandler novel. And it was called Poodle Springs. And it set
the classic Poodle Springs.
It's set in Palm Springs. But he got permission. It's actually quite good. He does an excellent job. But Chandler was a great inspiration for him, and he got permission from the family estate to finish the book.
Isn't that great? That's cool.
I recommend the book.
It's like Mahler's Tenth Symphony. Huh. You know, they leave these things unfinished, and then you're like, who can finish this thing? Who else has left unfinished works? We're going to do the show now. I'm sorry. We're going to do the show now. The TV show.
Yeah, otherwise it's going to be you.
What, with unfinished
work?
You'll
be the one with unfinished work. You'll be like, I had all these questions I was going to ask, and they diverted us to, like, weird pulp novels from the 40s.
Who did our Catholic listeners, I think most of them who voted are Catholic, vote for the TV show or movie of the year? TV show. And by the way, this is a repeat from yesterday, but I just wanted to hear what you guys thought what the winner was. So we did actually
If I had to guess, I'd say The Chosen.
Ooh, The Chosen Few.
Is that a 2022 show?
The Chosen? Well, yeah, it's still
How
going.
How do you measure that?
Yeah, like
do you go by the first year it premieres?
No. With a TV show,
alive?
As long as they're still making them, it can get voted for.
Okay.
So you can't vote for I Dream of Jeannie, but you can vote for The Chosen.
Yeah, I don't have a better guess than Joe's, as long as it's not Top Gun, Tom Cruise 2 and 2D.
Boom! Nailed it!
Oh, no.
Here's the top three, and in order. The Tom Cruise Top Gun movie, whatever, Maverick or whatever. I have not seen it. Have you seen it, Sarah? Sarah's seen it. Good or bad? Sarah loved it.
Oh, dear.
Next.
It's the platonic form of summer blockbuster.
Is it? Oh, that, see? All right. Oh, well, that's fine. And then there's, came in number two, The Chosen. Right. And then number one, for some reason, Tim yesterday said this is a controversial choice. Father Stu.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you why it's a controversial choice. Because the original version is an R-rated version that has a bunch of curse words in it.
Yeah.
Because the actual Father Stu had kind of a rough mouth. But people who are watching like a feel-good religious movie maybe don't want to hear like, you know, the way people from your part of the country talk, Si.
Si
is a Bostonian, for those who don't know.
So they did a
re-release. It's PG-13.
I hadn't thought about that. Maybe the part of the reason that I didn't care at all about the swearing was because I'm from Boston. I hadn't thought about that because these are two California guys. No, Todd's from Long Island. But they were very upset about the swearing, and I thought it's part of the art. It's part of the work they were making. It helped the story.
I will say I'm a little surprised with Todd being from Long Island because, yeah, you're like a Mother's Day card in Long Island that's swearing.
It depends which end of Long Island you're on.
So I kind of feel like our listeners feel an obligation to give a movie that has a kind of a Catholic or a Christian.
I think people did, yeah. Mad Maverick, though.
Well, that wasn't a good movie, though.
Sarah, I'm sorry about that. I didn't see it.
I find him unwatchable.
Tom Cruise?
Yes.
Oh, you and my wife, my wife and I have a debate about this. I think Tom Cruise is a wonderful actor. I'm not saying anything else about
it.
I can't watch him.
I cannot get past all the harm he has done with that Scientology stuff, and which is deeply, deeply harmful. And just, I don't know. I cannot watch him.
Huh. I kind of feel like if we start watching only shows that non-awful actors are in, we'll have a very short watch list.
I think I can draw some lines here, actually. I think there are material differences.
That's fair. I mean,
I don't know. I just don't have that feeling about him. I like what he does. I think he's very good.
He was the Catholic seminarian. I don't know if you know that.
Well, that's probably the part that I like. I don't know. People have very strong feelings about Tom Cruise.
He'd just be the first Father Mike Schmitz.
I just don't think he's that good an actor. He's a movie star.
Yeah, but I like movie stars. I got nothing against movie stars.
He's arguably he and George Clooney are the last of the movie stars. I don't think you have movie stars in the classic sense after those two guys.
Brad Pitt's not a movie star?
Yes and no. And also, is Brad Pitt like after Tom Cruise? I guess he is.
I think they're contemporary. Yeah, Tom Cruise is probably. Yeah. He was. Yeah. Now we're gonna do I'm just moving on. I got no transition. I'm just moving on now. That's interesting. You really don't like Tom Cruise. Do you have any feelings, Joe, about Tom Cruise?
Every movie Tom Cruise is in, he's just Tom Cruise.
Yes.
Well, I don't feel that way at all.
Joe makes a
very. But partly it's just because he's so famous. Like he doesn't. You know, he's like a Daniel Day-Lewis where he just is whatever character he's playing.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise is just like, he's running, he's flashing his really white teeth, and he's like doing a lot of smiling at the camera. And it's Mission Impossible, Top Gun. If you told me those were the same guy who just like switched careers, I'd be like, oh yeah, that tracks. That makes sense. It's the same person.
I think the most important person in the movie, in making a movie, is the person who does the casting.
Well, maybe. I think it's the writer. I always feel like the written word is the most important thing.
No, if you don't
I'm hoping to get that job someday. Make a little money. I'm working on my script right now.
Are we supposed to say what we thought was the best?
Yeah, what'd you think was the best? That's a good point, Chris. Yeah, what'd you think was the best movie or TV show of the year?
So I have kind of a divided heart about this because there are some really good TV shows, but they're almost all morally problematic. But I'm going to tell you what the best movie of 2022 was the remake. It's on Netflix right now of All Quiet on the Western Front.
Oh, I didn't see it. It really is good.
It's a German picture, and boy, is it the antidote to all the jingo pro-war movies. Every member of Congress, every neocon who wants to go pick a fight in a foreign land needs to watch this movie. Yeah, my experience is that the real warmongers are the ones who've never fired an aimed round, much less wore a uniform. And this film makes it very clear how brutal and evil war is. It's a brilliant piece of filmmaking by a brand new. This is his first.
But you pick on the neocons. But in modern,
are the liberals
in
whatever.
Modern America, liberals are pro war.
They are the
never
same.
Say no to war.
They've
completely abandoned. at least they had anti-war credentials, and they've utterly abandoned it. I mean, who's more excited about the war in Ukraine than American liberals? And I say that because I'm deeply offended by it. Like, it's like liberals being pro-abortion. What does liberalism mean if it doesn't mean defending the unborn and avoiding unnecessary killing in war? But liberals are crazy for war and killing these days. They've just given up.
I don't draw.
So, I don't mind you picking on neocons, but I mean, come on. Everybody's war all the time now.
It's the same category, neocon liberal. It's the Maybe. Same. Yeah. But anyway, it is a brilliant piece of filmmaking. It is brutal on the scale. This leaves Steven Spielberg way behind.
All right. Man,
so, with caution, I recommend it with caution.
All right. Joe? The music's playing. You got one?
I'm going to pass. I can't think of anything that I can just give like an unqualified endorsement to. I don't have time to do qualifications.
All right. Well, we'll do Catholic Person of the Year and Pro-Life Person of the Year right after this on Catholic Answers Live. The recent decision by the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade was a monumental victory for the pro-life movement. But the fight is far from over. With our new booklet, Why We're Pro-Life, we have produced the perfect tool to prepare you to have peaceful and convincing conversations to shed light on the truth about human life from conception to natural death. Catholic Answers is printing millions of copies of this booklet, and we plan simply to give them away. You can help us in two ways. First, by generously supporting this project. 25 cents prints one book. $2,500 prints 10,000, and so on. Second, by helping us distribute the booklet through your parish, your school, or the pro-life ministry you work with. Catholic Answers is going to blanket the country with Why We're Pro-Life, but only if you step up and help us. Thank you so much. For more information, visit whyweareprolife.com.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity in The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
What if the voice of your deepest doubts about Catholicism rose up in the form of a human being and challenged you to defend your most foundational beliefs? That's the task apologist Trent Horn took upon himself in his new book, Devil's Advocate, a dialogue with his own best objections against the faith that he professes and defends. You can stand up against your doubts, and Trent will show you how. Pick up your copy of Devil's Advocate today at shop.catholic.com or at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. We're running through the big stories of the year. We're actually not doing that very much. We're just mostly chatting and having more fun than we should. I don't know who spiked the eggnog this morning, but while we're recording this, but we've gotten a bit far afield. I do have to make one clarification. Sarah clarified for me that she didn't love Top Gun Maverick. She just gave it a thumbs up, and that was a thumbs up. But Sarah, you just went on a pilgrimage for the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe to Mexico City. Will you just tell us about that for a minute? I'm curious about it because you just got back today.
Yeah, I mean, what do you want to know?
I am so jealous, Sarah. I've never been. I'm going to go in March.
Yeah, you just gave a talk.
While you were away, Chris gave an absolute. I have heard him give this talk before, but this was a bravura performance. What's the guy that the shipbuilder? What's his name?
Oh like, yeah. What's his,
So what?
Diego's. It'll come to me in a minute.
But there's a part where you say, is Diego so and so?
Yeah, has he survived?
Has he survived? And I got chills when he said it. It's such a good. It's a good talk.
You know, I think this was the only thing that could have kept me from going to see that talk was going to see Our Lady.
Yeah. So what was it like for you to go to see the Tilma and all that?
I mean, it was. Incredible. I mean, my mom's Mexican, so, you know, she's had a devotion to it my whole life. But just going to see it myself, it really, it hit home. It just felt incredible. You know, like I'd seen pictures my whole life, but, you know, of course.
But you're standing there in front of a miracle.
Yes.
When you're there.
And, you know, there's like a little escalator and a walking escalator. It's never enough time. You always have to go back around. And
did you see the cross, the bent cross?
I did. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Because in the 1920s,
1921, I think.
1921, probably the Mexican government tried to blow up Our Lady of Guadalupe, and they blew out windows around the neighborhood. They blew up large parts of the church. They bent the cross backwards so that it's at basically a 90-degree angle. Didn't touch a hair on Our Lady's head.
Even the glass covering the tilma was not scratched.
It's a miracle on top of a miracle.
That is genuinely, literally a miracle on top of a miracle.
Yeah. So what were the pilgrims like? That's what I want to know. Like, is it just jammed with pilgrims on the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe?
Yes. I mean, you can see it just for miles. People just in crowds, you know, making this pilgrimage to the shrine, and it's incredible. You know, people going on their knees and, you know, with statues and celebration, and it's beautiful.
It is the most visited pilgrimage site in the world.
Yeah, yeah. 20 million.
Yeah, compared to about 7 million St. Peter's.
That's incredible.
That is incredible. And I'm so glad. You said your mom's Mexican, but the truth about Our Lady of Guadalupe is I think a lot of North Americans are discovering her now. Yeah. And, you know, we have the shrine in Wisconsin, and she's the Lady of the Americas. She's not the Lady of Mexico or Spanish-speaking Americas. She's the Lady of the Americas. Mm-hmm. So I do think that more and more people are discovering the astonishing miracle of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Well, we're nine.
I will say I'm jealous at how well Mexican Americans seem to celebrate Our Lady of Guadalupe compared to the rest of us. I mean, I've just heard people doing like parties and celebrations, and it just like making it a much bigger deal.
Yes, it's really it's a big celebration when everyone's there. Yes.
Well, I've been in Tijuana during the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and every neighborhood has a procession. Like, it's not like we got to have a big party. It's every neighborhood. There's a procession. You're driving around the city, and procession, and some of them very, very small, just a few people. Some of them hundreds of people. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing, the feast. Well, I'm glad you got to go, Sarah.
Me too. Yes.
Did you fly out of Tijuana, or did you fly out of San Diego, or how'd you get down there?
So I actually flew to Austin. Austin.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
And then down to the city.
Oh, yeah. All right.
It's a bargain to fly from Tijuana, and it's the Otay Airport is a lovely airport, and it's quite cheap. And I'm going to go in March.
Yeah,
I think flying from San Diego to Austin to get to Mexico is South by Southeast.
Well, you went to Houston, Sarah, to meet up with your
Houston,
grandparents.
Yeah. My great aunt and uncle, yes. Oh, so I went with them, and then we were with a group. So we had a group of about 25, 30 people. If they're listening. I miss you all.
Oh, that's so beautiful,
I have such
Sarah.
A holy envy.
Beautiful.
I can't wait to see her. I will say this. The Holy See, a year or so ago, declared that if you go to the shrine in La Crosse, the same graces and indulgences attach to that pilgrimage if you're not inclined to go to Mexico City.
What if you do a double? You go to both.
You just you really empty out that treasury of grace.
You really empty out the infinite treasury of grace.
Yeah. Cortez's shipbuilder was Martin Lopez.
Is
Martin Lopez alive?
Alive. Oh, that's a great line. Y'all should get Chris's talk on Our Lady of Guadalupe.
If you're in the 315 Society, you can get it.
All right, so we're going to do Catholic
Person. Well, can I give another Chris advertisement for his performance? Yeah, he does a beautiful poetic recital, and when he was up here at Benedictine, somehow word of this spread around, and they made him perform it twice. And it was
nice.
It was like it pieces the hairs on your arms. It was what's it called? Whitehall? The
Lepanto.
Oh, he did Lepanto? Yeah. Oh, man. Was Don Juan dancing on the bow of the ship?
Another great feast of Our Lady. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to do Catholic Person of the Year. We usually do this as the very last thing, But let's be honest, I get confused sometimes about what I'm supposed to do, so I just did it yesterday with the guys. So we already did Catholic Person of the Year, but I got to do it with you guys now. So I messed up, all right?
You were like, no, I'm not recycling them. I'm doing different questions. They just all were ones I've asked before.
Well, I messed up a little bit, on a couple of things. All right, so who do you think our listeners chose as the Catholic Person of the Year?
Archbishop Corleone.
And
that was literally what I was going to say as well. I asked my wife this morning what I should choose, and we both
said. And that's what she said, that he would be Catholic Person of the Year?
And pro-life Person of the Year, right? Because is it two separate categories?
No, it's two separate categories.
Or is that one?
No, yeah, two separate categories.
Oh.
So this is Catholic
Father Mike Schmitz was last year, right?
Yeah, he was.
He could get a two-peat.
You can rarely go wrong with Father Mike Schmitz. People love Father Mike
Schmitz. Can I say I'm slightly uncomfortable with this category?
Golly.
Why?
Because really what it means is Catholic Celebrity of the Year. And I mean, I'm not accusing Corleone or Father Mike of being celebrities, but whether they want it or not, they are public figures. Yeah. So it's like Catholic Public Figure Year. But for all I know, the Catholic Person of the Year is a young virgin in a camp abducted by Muslims in Nigeria right now, trying to hold on to her faith and being threatened, or
some
Benedictine nun in Gower, Missouri, or so just not how the economy of grace works. That's all I'm saying.
Well, that's right, but we're not asking who's the most graced person of the year. I mean, it is
right. It's public figure, news. Catholic yeah. public
it's
figure.
It's Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Yes, it is. I just felt the need to say that. But I.
All right.
But
it's a good point.
Like, in the case of
the
Corleone,
maybe
I just had the good fortune to be with him a couple of weeks ago up in San Francisco. What a devoted and holy man he is.
He is. Yeah. And a regular person too.
Yep.
Not a weirdo.
No. Nope.
Not a prima donna.
No. Nope. He's interested in being the shepherd.
Which happens to a lot of celebrities. You're laughing at me, Joe, but a lot of people get a little taste of celebrity and they become weirdo prima donnas.
In fact,
have you ever met Trent Horn?
Like,
do you know Trent Horn?
In fact,
in fairness to Trent, he was a weirdo before he got
okay.
I had the good fortune to come to know a couple more ordinaries this year, and one is Joe's Archbishop Nauman.
Isn't he great?
A holy, humble man whose chief interest, exclusive interest, is being the shepherd of the people of Kansas City. And I'll tell you another guy that I just met who exactly fits that description, and it's Bishop Condorla in Tulsa. Absolutely. This man is interested in being the shepherd of the people.
I met Bishop Condorla once.
He came from Texas A&M.
Yeah.
He is absolutely interested
in being
the—
He's the one that rides the motorcycle.
He does?
I think he's the one that rides
the motorcycle. Archbishop Sample has a motorcycle. He waited till his mom died before he bought it. He's another one. He just wants to be the shepherd of the people. I mean, there are ordinaries out there who are really first-rate holy men
who just
want to shepherd their people.
There are.
It's a good thing you mentioned that, because I think it is often easy as Catholics to get really discouraged with the bishops
in
some collective class. But there's a lot of really good bishops who often just have their nose to the grindstone, and they're doing what they can to shepherd their flock, and they're not really looking to make waves, make headlines. And I don't think there's anything wrong as such with making waves or headlines. But there are, as Cy kind of alluded to, or as you kind of alluded to earlier, Chris, there are a lot of spiritual temptations that go along with
that.
Yes. And you know, power corrupts and fame corrupts.
Celebrity is bad for clerics. It's very, very bad for clerics. One more, Bishop Paprocki in Springfield I've gotten to know over the past couple of years. He just wants to be the shepherd of the people of Springfield. That's the highest compliment I can pay a bishop.
My problem with Bishop Paprocki is he'll get up in front of a group and he'll sing Led Zeppelin. And that I don't approve of that at all.
It is true.
The man got up in front of a group here in California and sang Led Zeppelin.
He did. And he didn't crack
a smile. I don't approve. All right. There's really only two people. There's really only two people in place number two. I mean, there's a lot of people that got like, you know, four, five, six votes, but only people that got substantial double digit votes. Father Mike, second place. He's number two with a bullet.
Good.
And number one is a humble Benedictine nun in the middle of America. All right, it's not. That's not it. It's Bishop Corleone.
Mother Abbess Cecilia. That's who it is.
Sister Jane.
Yeah.
Right, Joe?
Joe's.
Yeah,
Joe's.
My aunt. That was a great choice.
It's Archbishop Corleone, like by far and away.
Well deserved.
People like Archbishop Corleone. Yep. Okay, so now we'll do pro-life person of the year. Okay? This is a different category, pro-life person of the year. And how shall I put this?
Just do it. Well, just jump on.
No, sometimes it's not exactly clear who people are indicating. And so I collect them up under a shared category.
Are they just like that one guy who did the pro-life thing?
Yeah, they'll say things like that. All right, let me just tell you, the top three are all very, very close. Archbishop Corleone came in fourth and is not close because people were like, already voted for him as Catholic of the Year. Not going to vote for him for pro-life person of the year because I don't want him to become a weirdo celebrity bishop. And so, you know.
That's how our listeners talk, according to Cy. I just want listeners to listen.
Way to insult the
this
listeners.
This is what Cy thinks you sound like.
Yeah.
I apologize. Joe, this is all I can do. This is my only job that I can do. It's this or nothing. So don't get me fired.
I'm too proud to beg, and I'm too old to dig.
That's exactly
it's in the Bible.
You are the unjust steward.
I'm that guy. Right. All right. So a tie for second. So this or a tie for third. I don't know how you do that.
I don't know.
Trent Horn and Lila Rose. They both got a lot of votes.
That's a great combo.
Yeah. Trent Horn, assume because he's Trent Horn. Lila Rose, I asked around. I said, why would she get a lot of votes this year? And people said she did a lot of secular media. She was on, because I know
Phil Donahue or Dr. Phil, whatever.
Dr. Phil.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. Dr. Phil. Dr. You can tell how much I've watched TV.
Yeah. So I guess she did a great job on Dr. Phil. And so because, you know, there's people that are consistently pro-life year after year, and then you see they got a lot of votes. You're like, why? What'd they do this year? And I think it was because of the secular media stuff she did. I'm assuming. I don't know.
But so I want to give her props. I've disagreed with her on some tactics live action's used. So, and I understand
lying.
Some of the things she's done in the past have been controversial. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Deceiving people and lying. Yeah. Lying. Right.
But what she's done this year is unapologetically or apologetically really good. It's, she just goes out there and is just attacked mercilessly by people who are supposed to be moderators in these secular shows like Dr. Phil. And she just maintains her cool and her poise. And what she is, her ability to speak calmly under fire while she's being kind of like badgered and talked down to is really remarkable. It's not something a lot of people can do. And I think I'll just say frankly that people are ruder to her because she's a woman and because she's a younger woman. And like the amount of condescension and kind of insufferable kind of like, oh, well, let me explain it to you that she has to put up with. And she does it without cracking. It's great. It's, you know, I think it's bad being on your show, Cy. She has to deal with even worse.
Yeah.
Kind of host.
Yeah, right.
Well, and there's a certain element of disbelief when her interlocutors are talking to her because it's, well, you're a woman. Why can't you get this straight? Yeah.
Well, good for her then, because I have not seen those. I have not. I've heard about the Dr. Phil interview. Another person who got some votes here is someone who I did see. I just by accident caught her being absolutely attacked on CNN, just brutally. And her name is Kristen Hawkins.
And Students for Life.
Students for Life. And she didn't break a sweat. And she just said things that are true. She just kept plowing forward. And so I was very impressed with her. And she got a few votes. So I didn't catch Lila Rose on any of the stuff. But that's just because, you know, you catch some and you don't catch others. But good for these. I really do admire people who are just unflappable like that in the face of. I don't understand why these hosts like Dr. Phil or the people on CNN don't see that this derision and condescension is unacceptable. Like they would notice it in any other. And I really do think there's a certain kind of flattery that's almost. And I don't want to do the demon thing too much. But there's a kind of demonic flattery of, oh, I'm really hitting this out of the park right now. Doing, you know, like that almost is a kind of. You're speaking to the people. You're not speaking to your listeners or viewers. You're speaking to the people you're going to see at the cocktail party later, who are going to say, "Oh, great job, ripping that pro-life girl," you know, to pieces. Where you want to say, "You know what? You're a reporter. Don't be an idiot. Why are you talking to people like that?"
Yeah, it's a little different with Dr. Phil because he's got a track record of doing that kind of thing.
Yeah,
where some of the people come on the show to have, you know, let's find out their views, but just to speak very frankly, a fair amount of what he's doing is speaking to people who I think he and the producers of the show regard as idiots, and they're telling them how to think about an issue. And sometimes they tell them that by inviting someone on they agree with and having them explain. And sometimes they invite it on by having people they disagree with come on and then treating them like, this is a bad view. This is ugly. You can't believe that.
So that your takeaway,
regardless of... Right. The point is not, let's give a fair hearing to this idea. It's, let's bring this person on and publicly scold them so that anyone else who might be tempted to hold that view also feels scolded and doesn't hold that view.
It's the old Morton Downey view of television. Remember Morton Downey Jr.?
I do.
He kind of invented that.
Yeah.
But now everybody does.
Robert Downey?
No,
Morton Downey Jr. Was he at DC? Wasn't he at DC?
Yeah.
Can I guess the number one?
Yeah, as soon as we come back right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
This is Cecilia Flannery, Director of Divine Mercy Radio. The world needs Catholic radio because it changes lives and saves souls for Jesus. It brings each of us closer to Him. And when you're closer to Jesus, there's a very good chance you will spend eternity with Him. Catholic radio not only changes your life in this world, it changes it for all of eternity.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
All right, pro-life person of the year. Now it's time to reveal it. But it's not Trent Horn. It's not Lila Rose, despite the fact that they got lots and lots of votes. And this was the closest of all the categories. Gentlemen, you want to take a guess at who was voted the pro-life person of the year by Catholic Answers listeners?
It's Sam Alito, right?
Joe, you got a guess?
Oh, that's a good... I think Alito's a great choice. I hadn't thought of that. That's a freebie. That should be the right answer.
I had to amalgamate these because people said this in different ways, but it's the Supreme Court. Because
the Supreme Court's not a person.
No, but I know. But a lot of people voted the Supreme Court, or they would say things like the court that overturned Roe v. Wade, or the Dobbs decision. People. So I
got it right.
So Sam Alito was in there. Yeah,
you're absolutely right. He wrote the opinion. He spoke for the court. If you're going to personify the court, the majority opinion is how you do that.
Well, I also grouped it. So sometimes they would pick three justices. Like they'd go Thomas, Barrett, Alito, or something like that. And I don't know why those three. But
I've heard a lot about voter fraud, but I think we need to investigate our own ranks. It sounds like some of these votes are pretty sketchy.
Well, I mean,
voting three times.
The thing is,
we don't
give you choices to choose from. You just get to say whatever you want. And on some.
Yeah.
That you'd be surprised is the range of things, ways people express basically the same thing. So I just amalgamated it into the Supreme Court, and you guys amalgamated that into Samuel Alito. So, and the decision really is good. It reads really well, and I felt like as a pro-life person, I think I've told you this before, Joe, maybe on the air. Reading it, I thought. This is the decision I would have dreamed of. Like I thought this is the person saying the things that everybody knows in the pro-life movement, which is in probably half the country, you know, and then the other half in the pro-choice or whatever the other, you know, view is called. But it was like finally somebody in a position of authority saying what should have been said in 1971 or 72 or whatever.
Yeah. It's one of those decisions that if you actually read it, especially if you have a kind of legal background to make sense of some of the arguments, because they do get a little technical, they're really on point. I mean, it's hard to read it and see where does the reasoning fall apart. And then you read like the dissent and they talk about imposing religion on people. And you're like, did you read anything?
Like he didn't say
the
anything
about it. No. There's nothing about that. Right. And I think there's this idea that no matter how strong the argument against abortion is, it's always just a smokescreen for I'm religious and don't like abortion. And that's just – it's such a bad way of viewing the arguments of someone with whom you disagree. Like if we said every pro-choice argument is just an excuse to justify your licentious lifestyle or something like that, you know, you would say, hey, at a certain point you've got to respect the other person enough to really engage their arguments on the merits. You can't just assume the worst of everyone with whom you disagree, especially when it's half the country. And so, you know, I would say the same thing to the other side on
this. Well, especially when you're a justice on the Supreme Court. By that point, shouldn't you – be informed a little bit by civility and logic in your trade.
Right.
We all know the fight continues here, of course, because the subsequent statewide referenda here in California, Kansas is another example. Mm-hmm. So that's why we've got our why we're pro-life booklet. Why we are pro-life? Because Catholics.
Why we are pro-life.com.
Yeah, why we're pro-life.com. Because Catholics need to get better at talking about life. That's why we're losing this. It's not because we didn't get the vote out.
Well, you know, you say we're losing, but this really was a year of astonishing. I mean, this was the best year for the pro-life movement since the Roe versus Wade decision. Because places like Texas and not Kansas. I don't know what's wrong with the people of Kansas, but in other places.
There's a book about that.
Yeah. But, you know, but then it's also the worst year because there's places like California and Michigan who just utterly insane, not even I can kind of see how they're misguided. No, like voting for killing babies to the moment that they are born, fully formed, ninth month. I mean, the people in America voting for infanticide. It gives you a sense of the monstrousness of this thing.
My friends, next month is Pro-Life Month. Catholic Answers will send you free cases, free, including shipping, of this booklet if you can get your pastor to assure us or your Knights of Columbus Council or your school principal or whatever the organization is that they will be passed out free. Whywearepro-life.com. This is something to do for Pro-Life Month.
You can go whywearepro-life.com. I'm going to move on to the next category. The next category is trend in the world that gives you concern. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's no winner here. There is just people are all over the map. Like for example, there are some that kind of have a clump of a few votes. And Germany and German bishops got themselves a clump, you know. But somebody actually put like trends that concern you. One person wrote Germany. I was like,
yeah. I mean, no matter what year you do this episode, that'll always be a good answer.
Yeah, now, come on.
It could be 1939. It could be 2022. Germany's always a safe bet for trends that are a little alarming.
I believe you're forgetting 1,000 years of the Holy Roman Empire. I believe.
No, we could go through the number of times they invaded Italy to try to take over the papacy. And it was like the story of like.
Sometimes Italy needed a little invading. All right, every now and then.
Names the Holy Roman Emperor. The Holy Roman Emperor decides he should also get to choose the Pope. Then he invades, and then you wash and repeat. It's amazing.
Oh my gosh, Joe coming out against the Holy Roman Empire.
They gave us J.S. Bach.
I'm the Germans have done plenty of good things, but. Don't turn your back for too long.
The people, I mean, but the synodal vague got a lot of votes. So that is certainly one. Another big one, we have not talked about this one yet. And this might, I mean, if I had added it up in a certain way, it might have been the winner, is gender stuff. People see that as a terrible trend.
It is.
Yeah, you were talking about your bad transitions.
Joe, come on. This is all right. That's all Joe's got. He's against the Holy Roman Empire and me.
And those against gender transition. Gender transition. All right.
Props to our friends Chuck Lemandry and Paul Jonah, who have defended that young lady who made some bad decisions, or young man, and now actually I'm not sure which. and is now suing the doctors.
Yeah. Well, these doctors should be sued.
They should. And then jailed.
Institutions should be sued. If you do things like
neuter
children with chemicals or mutilate girls by removing their breasts.
Yep. You should go to jail.
You should go to jail for it. Yep. Because that's mutilation. And reckoning is coming. And God willing, come quickly. So fewer than might otherwise will be abused in this way and be have their bodies mistreated and mutilated in this way. Joe Heschmeyer, can you do another hour with us?
I'd be happy to.
All right, now we'll see how you how you come out against the original Roman Empire. Now that you've come out against the Holy Roman Empire.
Yeah, Holy Roman Empire. Neither holy nor Roman nor an empire.
That's what Voltaire said. He was a bad man.
I'm coming down on Chris's side on everything today. On everything. From Dashiell Hammett to Voltaire to war. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.